Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Guys, welcome back to another Definitely Dying. Thanks for continuing to tune in. And if this is your first time, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
I had an experience over the weekend that I wanted to tell you about, Ben, because it was like a classic. Like me thinking a bystander was going to die scenario where it was like, I was at the beach. Mm-hmm. I was for the 4th of July. I was at the beach a couple days ago and it was like a small group. It was like a kind of a quiet beach. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of hanging out and we saw these two girls who at first we noticed them because they were like kind of just like being silly. We were like, what are those girls doing? They're two sort of maybe college age girls who we couldn't figure out if they were friends who got too drunk or if they were girlfriends, like, girlfriends who got too drunk. Right. Like, because one of them, like, they kept kind of hugging on each other. And then, like, one of them kept seeming like she was trying to kiss the other one. And then they kept like falling down. Mm-hmm. And then they like finally landed in like this sort of position on their butts with their legs wrapped around each other. And then that's when it looked like one of them was sort of trying to kiss the other one. But mostly they were just hugging, which led me to believe they were just like drunk college friends. But then one of them kept trying to stand up and she kept falling over. And then we were like, oh, no, these people are like too drunk. Like they were like so drunk to the point that like a lifeguard came over to them and was like, hey, what's going on? And they were like, well, we're good. And she was like, all right, well, don't go in the water. And they were like, okay. And so we kind of were like, they were like in our peripheral vision. And then sure enough, all of a sudden they were like, they started walking. Mm-hmm. And they walked straight through an active volleyball game under the net and then made a beeline for the ocean. And the undertow was like strong. Oh, wow. Like it was like at a point where nobody was really swimming because it was like a little too dangerous to be sober and swimming. And we were like, oh, no. And then like we were with like our friend Will. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, can you go do something? And he was like, you can a girl go because it's super creepy if like a dude like runs to these like girls, these drunk girls at the beach. So our friend Katie and I ran down to the ocean and like we're like, hey, don't go in the water. And they were like, she has to pee. And so like Katie sort of got the one girl who was a little less drunk. And then I somehow just like by happenstance ended up with the drunkest girl and I was holding her hands because she kept trying to go into the ocean and she was like, I gotta pee. And I was like, girl, you could do it right here. It's okay. We've all been there. And she was like ankle deep in the water. But I was like, just pee. And then like, I like get out of the ocean because she was just like truly tipping over. And so it was just like a long moment of just me holding hands with this drunk girl while she peed in the ocean. And it only stopped because the lifeguard came back and was like, hey, hey, I told you not to get in the water. What are you doing? And then they were like, we're not. She has to pee. And then, like, then we, like, sort of went our separate ways. And then later in the day, the two girls had gotten separated and they were trying to find each other. And I was at this point dressed completely differently. Like I had we were getting ready to go. So I had my clothes on. I had a hat on and a hood on because it was chilly. And somehow this drunk girl, again, I think she didn't even realize it was me from before.
Yeah, yeah.
But she picked me out of a crowd and made blazing eye contact with me and was like, can you help me find my friend? And I was yeah. And so I walked all around the beach with her trying to find her other drunk friend. And her friend was with another group of nice people. And they were they saw that we were leaving. And they were are you and they came with a group and the rest of the group was nowhere to be seen. So they were like, are you their friends? And I was like, no, we're just trying to help her. And they're like, okay, we got it. We'll help them find their friends. But I was worried about them the whole rest of the night because they were so I felt so bad for them. Cause I think everybody's been there in some version where I just kept thinking about how they would feel the next day, how they were going to wake up so hungover. And the one girl had she had a sort of thong bathing suit on. Her butt was so sunburned. I felt for them so much and was also just terrified they were going to wander into the ocean and get sucked up by the sea and never be seen again. So that was my definitely dying story for the week.
You know what? They probably were sucked up into the sea.
Yeah, they probably were.
I mean, maybe not that day, but it is their destiny.
Yeah, they belong to the sea.
Yeah.
Should we start the podcast?
Let's start the podcast. Great. We belong to the sea. We got a great guest for you today. He is a very, very good friend of mine. You know him from the Birthday Boys, this sketch comedy team we all know and love. He's a director, a writer, he's a performer, he's a comedian. He also directed a little short film called Dennis that yours truly wrote, starring a former podcast guest and good friend Mike Hanford. Jeff Dunn's here. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me. What a great intro, Ben.
Thank you.
That was a great intro. Ben always gets nervous about the intros, but he does a very good job at it.
Oh, thanks.
You did wing that one, it seemed.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
I know you pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I think I've gotten better at realizing that you don't have to list every credit that a person has. And so sometimes I would be racking my brain trying to think of what I'm supposed to say next.
The
things that pop right into your head, those are probably the salient traits of a Jeff Dutton IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, Birthday Boy. Yeah.
And it's better than a stand-up intro, having a note card with you know him from...
Yeah, Flappers.
Yeah.
You don't know Jeff from Flappers, so quit acting like you do.
Yeah. So, Jeff, we will start by asking you the same question we like to ask everybody, just to get things started on a fun foot. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
I've thought about this. I thought about this before I came in today. I think that I probably think about it now more than I used to. I probably had a little bit of too much a sense of invincibility as a teenager or a college kid. Mm-hmm. But also in college, I was very much more zenned out now than I am. I was just so steeped in art and philosophy classes, and I knew my group of friends, and I was more outgoing than I had been in high school. So I really just sort of felt I had kind of figured things out. And then I moved to LA and had to work and sustain myself. And you just realize all these beautiful concepts that you can think about don't exactly exist in the real world without you trying to.
Art and philosophy are a job now.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I've done the skydiving and like what's like Six Flags has like a big pendulum swing that you'll like see off the highway. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that. Not at Six Flags, but I did a version of that. Right. What is that?
I don't know, but they put you in like a beached whale harness.
Yeah.
And then they like tug you up to a big pole that's huge.
Yeah.
They're generally like hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah.
And then they
kind of swing you like one of those metal balls in like the TikTok office.
right.
Office decor from the 80s. Like picture one of those.
Yeah.
I did that when I was like 14 or something on like a family trip, and then I got my parents to go skydiving. And
you got your parents to go skydiving?
My sister, myself, and both parents went.
How old were you?
My sister had just turned 18, so I was probably 22.
Okay. Mm. And you've been more than once, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I went once.
I remember the other time you went.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was Tony.
Tony, yeah.
And then it was the family. The family was second,
okay.
I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
So made peace with death.
So okay,
was sort of totally fine with it. I was at a zero
because Tony died,
or like I would think about it, but it had no impact on me whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then now I'm an old man with death nipping at my heels. So I'll give it a modern day. I'll give it a modern day six.
Six, okay. And what would you have said in college and then also in
zero.
High school? Zero.
Zero.
I gave it a zero.
You never thought about
never
it.
Never thought about it.
Never thought
like
about
not
it.
Even not you didn't even think about it enough to think that won't happen to me. Like I'm invincible. And it didn't cross your mind.
I was like
ever.
A child who didn't have any grandparents die yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
And now have you had grandparents die?
Yeah, yeah. They're dropping like flies these days.
Yeah.
I have a lot of grandparents.
What more, do you mean?
Yeah, how does that happen?
Strangely, my grandfather on my dad's side had three grandmothers via him. And it wasn't until like even lately that I was like, so wait, which one am I actually related to?
And that's how much all three of them were still around?
Yeah, like I still like they would visit and like we were part of their lives and I just never... I was like, yeah, I have a Nana Marcia, a Grammy Ann, and a Joyce. And like when I was a little kid, Nana Marcia, who is, I've come to find out, is my actual blood grandmother, left that family when my dad was actually very young, which is kind of rare for the mom to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When my dad was like, sure. I want to say like five or something, like kind of a pretty sensitive age. And then, I should talk to my dad about like, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
I've only heard him like joke about it lately. But then my Grammy Ann was like the one that was my grandmother on that side until like I was not even a teenager. And it was that grandfather left her for Joyce. And then so like now Joyce is in the picture. So,
wow.
So a lot of grandparents in the mix.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody's putting on airs about Joyce being a legit grandma.
Well, she doesn't get any sort of like Nana this, Grandma that.
No, she's just Joyce.
It'd be weird in your 30s to start calling someone Nana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, you do have a lot of grandparents. But, and so how many of those are alive? How many of those... Three or four, I guess, including the grandpa.
Nana Marcia and Joyce going strong.
Okay.
Anne and my grandfather on that side have both passed. And then my mom's parents both passed pretty recently, like a year or two ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, it's all... I was the same. I had a bunch of... I had four grandparents to start.
The standard four.
Yeah. And then... I was also really lucky where they were like mostly alive, except for like I had one grandpa who died when I was in like second grade.
Right.
But like finally just like maybe 3 years ago, like they started dying. I have one grandma left, but it's like made me feel so spoiled.
Oh, older
that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have one grandma left too. Yeah. And I'm sort of in between you guys in number of
grandparents
that I have. Yeah. The one that remains would be like... Nobody uses this terminology, but she would be my step-grandma.
Okay.
But, like, you don't call your just an old lady who gives you money is your grandma.
Yeah, exactly.
Nana Diana is still alive and kicking. But all the others are gone.
But pets and grandparents are how you learn about death, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's... even if it's not you, it's like, oh, you're little Timmy in class, like your buddy, word would get around like, oh, his grandmother died.
Right.
And that would sort of send shockwaves
through the
third grade class or whatever.
And what's the age at which they stop telling you, would you guys imagine they stop telling you that your parent has gone, or that you're not your parent, your pet has gone to live on a farm? Because I definitely had a dog that they said went to live on a farm, and I believe, every few years I ask, like, that's like a true story, right? And they do claim that, like, my old dog Sebastian went to live on a farm, but that's like the classic story of like a dead dog, it went to live on a farm upstate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I never had any pets that were, like, we had like hamsters.
Same.
And nobody said they went to a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to a farm that spins around in a ball.
And then we had like a family of outdoor cats that like my family kind of.
That's the only crazy people.
I know.
Have outdoor.
Oh, I know.
There you go.
No, it was, I mean, it was crazy. It was really cute actually because my family like never wanted pets and my mom was allergic to cats and my dad grew up with a bunch of bad dogs. So he like didn't want a dog. And there was this like cat, she looked like a ghost cat. She was like, just completely white. She had like two different color eyes, like, you know, like
no legs, like floating above the ground.
Yeah, she floated, she appeared and then disappeared. And she was like always like kind of around. And then one summer she had a bunch of kittens in our garage and like the party line in my family was like, you know, these are not our kittens. They're strays. These are not for us. But then, like, when it got a little cold, my dad built a little house for them in, like, the window well of our basement. Like, you know, like it's, like, an outdoor. Like, you know, like an East Coast basement. You have, like, a little, like, it kind of goes down into the ground.
What do you call that? Like, the little, like, it's like a storm, like the angled wedge?
Yeah.
Storm cellar? Storm cellar. Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
And so he like built like an insulated little house for them. And then little by little, they like moved into our screened in porch. And then sometimes they would get in the house and always like go find my dad. And he was the one who like hated them the most. And then two of them ran away for a little while and then came back. One of them never came back. And the other one came back real weird. And then my whole family had to get rabies shots and we gave them all away.
Well.
I was not told they were going to live on the farm either.
No. Well, those sound like pets in like the loosest sense of the
term.
They were
quite loose.
Did you have pets growing up?
I
know you're allergic to dogs.
I'm allergic to dogs and cats. Also not a huge fan of specifically cats or most dogs, honestly. Mm-hmm. I can sort of like, whatever, I can get along. I take it on a dog-by-dog basis.
Sure, sure.
But I did the whole, like, hamsters, fish, birds. Mm-hmm. We had a rabbit at one point that was, like, the closest we got to, like, like a standard American pet. But the rabbit was so not cuddly. It was, like, they're such anxious animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we thought it would be sort of more, like, cat or dog-like.
Yeah.
And it really was just like we had a wild animal in the house.
Yeah, like a scared wild
animal. Right, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that died and it was sad. Like, I remember crying, but I was also like, what was this a dumb kid? I don't know. But in general, no pets worthy of, like, a funeral or something.
Right.
Like, we buried the hamster and it was fine and whatever. we did stumble into two stray cats once, same sort of deal, East Coast, New Hampshire. We like came back from Chinese food one night and then we saw like two things like scamper into the garage door when we opened it. And then there were two cats. One was, this was kind of around Halloween, and one had, burn marks on it, had like singed fur.
Oh,
and
no.
And the other one's tail had been like cut off.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And even though we were like, oh, we can't have them in the house, we did set out like a thing of milk and they stayed the night and I was so happy because back then I was into these cats.
Yeah.
And I remember like putting them in the jack-o'-lanterns that we were working on.
Oh.
And they would like crawl out the mouth and we thought it was so funny that we could like put them in one hole and they'd crawl out the other one.
I mean, that is funny.
And eventually my dad like took them to a place where they could be adopted or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so that was my like 3 days with a real pet that I couldn't really like have in the house.
When do you like? Can you pinpoint a time when you like when you began to be less carefree about death, or is it more sort of just the gradual process of like, you know?
Yeah, you went from just, 0 to 6.
Yeah.
That's like that's a big hike.
Yeah.
Right. Well, even besides the skydiving, I was maybe prone to acting out a little bit as the same sort of invincibility
right.
that, makes you kind of do kind of daring things.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I always sort of was Jackass was a really popular thing back then. And we were the video camera kids anyway. So we were predisposed to just kind of doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
Stuff that could get you in trouble or get you hurt. But I don't know, I'll give you two instances and I'll try and get through them quick. First one.
You
was
can
in-
get through them slow. Hey, This podcast is supposed to be 15 minutes long, but people just insist on really dragging it out.
Hurry up with this so we can start talking about fast food.
All right, I'll give you the more recent one first. And it was I'm sort of always really, really fucked with when it comes to air travel.
Mm.
I have to take two stops home because I'm flying into Manchester, New Hampshire, which is a smaller airport. So you can't go LAX to there. You got to do a little bit of a stop.
Yeah.
And it always just, especially during the holidays, it invites this chaos to just seep in.
Yeah.
So I've always been every year it's your bags didn't show up and they show up the next day or two, or you have to stay overnight in Chicago, or the worst is just sleeping on the floor in a terminal.
Ugh,
or taking red eyes and shit. Awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not into air travel.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one time I stopped down in Chicago and it was snowing, but it was more just super windy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Windy City. And as we're flying into a landing, It was windy and there had been some turbulence, but as much as I don't like it, I don't like the taking off and landing parts of it. I'm kind of okay with flying. I've made my peace with it, except for this. So we're flying down into Chicago and the horizon is fully filling and unfilling both windows.
Oh,
all the way to the ground.
Yeah.
I was feeling but as we get closer, it'll even off. And it was just not the case.
Oh.
So I was feeling we're getting closer. I can see people's faces and
what?
Hats and stuff.
Oh, no.
Or you can just see, it's not abstract anymore. We're close enough where I can, see cars and street lights in it. It looks like a street.
Mm-hmm.
And the wings are just, bucking back and forth so hard.
Oh, that's
crazy. And the place was, the plane was pretty silent. And then as we, land, and I'm sure it's, just an awful, bumpy landing, but we land, the whole plane erupted in applause. And so it was it wasn't just me. We all thought we were gonna die and we're just trying to be cool.
Yeah.
But just it was joyous. The whole plane was united and
we made it again.
That sucks. So there was that. That was an actual scary more than just the normal flight jitters.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't know, there's this other thing that jumps out to me a little bit. It's in Ithaca, there were gorges.
That's where Jeff went to college.
Yeah,
yes.
Ithaca College.
That Ithaca is gorgeous.
Yes.
I was so confused by that shirt for the longest time.
It's an annoying shirt because you have to explain it. And people are always what is your shirt? What does your shirt mean? Also, there's a gorge makes the eye, and it looks like a trunk of a tree and not a gorge. So the shirt says Ithaca is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you're saying, it's gorgeous.
But yeah, yeah.
It should be Ithaca has gorges.
Right.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
I think that's probably what bothered me about it is because, I understand what a gorge is. And I knew what a gorge was back when I would see these shirts frequently, which was just what, back when I still lived on the East Coast and people had, Ithaca shirts. But I think the grammatical discrepancy really troubled me.
It just, you look at it and it just sort of itches a part of your brain.
It
and
does.
Then you're just like, oh.
You're like, I don't, that just doesn't, something about that feels not quite Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We all agree it should be H-A-Z, has, like cheeseburgers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like it should be like a cool meme, yeah, right? Yeah, like, yeah. The meme came first, right?
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Always the meme came
yeah,
first.
Yeah, Ken has gorgeous.
Yeah, I can, yeah. Ithaca Ken has gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that would fix it so much.
Yeah, that would fix it.
I would not be surprised if they did make that.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
There's so many variations yeah, yeah, on it. If you go to the t-shirt stores right, up there and stuff, there's like every possible version. So anyway, Ithaca has gorges,
uh-huh,
and it was like a thing to do where you'd gather up your buddies in the very few months where it was warm enough to swim, mm-hmm, and you'd go and you'd like jump into the water from like, it's like cliff diving,
yeah,
type stuff. And there was like a small, medium, large,
mm-hmm,
and I just did the medium, not even the super high one.
Yeah.
But I would say that like it would definitely, like, how would you? This building, UCB Sunset, is what, yeah, three stories high? Like,
yeah.
So that's 30 feet or like,
I'm so
36
bad at
feet or
this
something.
Type sure. Of estimation.
So it was about like that. I would say okay, it was about that high. And
that's high. Guys, that's high.
Yeah.
And
it's high, guys.
And I was, I was also an RA at this time. So I brought, was I? Yeah, I was. So I brought my students that I was supposed to be like a,
yeah,
a shining example,
yeah,
down to this gorge. And it was kind of a hike. It's like a mile hike to just like get off the high or the road and then to this gorge.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm doing the thing and I'm going to jump off the high thing. And they warn you like there's a tree there. Don't hit the tree and all this stuff. And so I did it and I jumped. And what happened was I sort of like, I didn't pencil.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Correctly.
You have to pencil when you're jumping from a high
and,
height. Yeah.
And I sort of like sat on the water.
Oh.
And it sort of knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I sort of like twitched myself to the surface and was like really gasping, but had too much pride to be like, help.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So I sort of just like got my way to shore. And then like when I got out of the water, I realized like I couldn't really like move too much. Like it really hurt to like stay erect. As far as my spine goes,
yeah.
And
you got a real stinger,
yeah. And it, ooh, and I was like, did I just like pinch a nerve, or I don't know, or like I definitely knocked the wind out of myself because
yeah,
I had to lay down for a second.
Oh my gosh!
And this is such a lame story, but
it's no,
so I didn't like tell the kids they were like 1 year younger than me. I didn't tell the others that like I'm hurt, I'm going back. But I found out that like I could really stand up if I wrapped the towel around my waist and then like cinched it, like if I wrapped it around my belly and like twisted it tight in front, I could stay up enough to walk, and it didn't give me that like this like pinching pain in my back. And I like walked a mile back to my dorm and like went to bed, and I never got it looked at.
You never.
And it gave me like an awful like. Like back pain, more immobilization than like back pain, which is like in retrospect scarier,
much scarier. Yeah, because mm-hmm, like when your body can't move, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's like a real, that's real emergency.
And yeah, I'm like, you know, I knew I wasn't paralyzed, but yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm kind of like down for the count here off that dive. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
and then like, you know, a couple days later, I felt kind of okay. And now I think the only sort of lasting thing, because I have awful posture to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I'll do.
Is that I used to be able to crack my back really in a really satisfying way.
Yeah.
Like I would sort of like curl my ankles around any like school chair.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
I could like twist back, and it would just had this the most amazing like ripple crunch of like if
yes,
you took like corn on the cob and yeah, just like cracked it in half. And I can't do that anymore. And I miss being able to do that. And I think that has something to do with like the loss of being able to like, I think maybe I like smacked all the air sacks out of my spine.
Like
you popped all the bubble
yeah,
wrap in your back.
Yeah,
and you're like an imperceptible yeah, like half an inch shorter.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, probably. So those are the two. Yeah. Those are like the flight death scare, and then
yeah,
and then like that sort of like, oh, did I actually really hurt myself in a
yeah,
way where I can't go back?
Yeah, yeah.
That's always scarier to me than death. It's like, yeah, did I do something to my body or to my brain where I can't go back to what it was?
Right,
yeah,
right.
The irreversibility of like crossing a threshold that you can't take back.
Yeah. I always think about like that more than that I fear death, mm-hmm, I fear dying that way, like any, you know, like, and it, when I say that way, I mean it could be any number of ways,
but
like that, that like applause on an airplane is that's symbolic of to me is a bunch of people saying like, yes, we did not die this way, we did not spend $400 to die this way, or however much it costs to fly, but that like. I don't know, somehow the pencil one or whatever. Like, I feel like I'd be okay dying that way.
Right.
That's, that one would be, to me, because I would be so afraid to do that, that it would be okay that when I then died from it, because I had already overcome the big fear. The airplane one, no. Anything mundane that kills me, I'm going to be the angriest person on the planet right before I go.
Well, I think most deaths are probably the kind where the person says or thinks, not like this.
Right.
Like, how many deaths are people like, do they have that like Michael Bay, like doomed mission, like nod to your,
I mean,
out in a blaze of glory.
Soldiers, like, this is it.
Maybe, definitely not. I mean, I think you're maybe maybe undervaluing the sheer number of people who die of long-term sicknesses. the majority of people just have to come to terms with it over time.
You know,
but yeah, no, like the majority of, there are very few things that I could think of doing.
You know,
that
the big accident of getting sick for years.
Call them the 90%ers.
But yeah, no, the airplane one, the idea of, because everything about flying, sort of like you were describing, is an epic annoyance. Mm-hmm. Like it sucks. Like every part of it, we're so far past the novelty of flying that like that's that one thing. Like to complain about it for the entire time and then die from it. Like the one saving grace is that we're going to live through it, and then because every other part of it is really the worst part of most. The worst part of most years is travel, I would say, like, because not that much bad happens in life. Like, in order to go to a cool place, you have to go through at least one day of misery. So to not even get to the cool place, to die on the runway.
Ugh.
Yeah, maybe I'll try it.
I think it's really interesting, like the idea of like crossing these fear thresholds that like. Like, I feel like we've had a cluster of guests recently who have, when we were just talking to Jess Jardin, like, she talked about a really turbulent flight that, like, a little bit, like, opened the door in her brain to be scared of flying.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, do you, Ben, do you feel like, feel like any experiences stand out in your mind as, like, fear thresholds or, like, experiences that, like, opened a door in your mind and awakened you to a fear that you didn't even know you were supposed to have?
I mean, I think I had a lot of situations sort of similar to what Jeff was describing where not necessarily a feeling of invincibility, but like a feeling that like I was sort of protected.
A little ignorance to one particular threat.
That just like, I don't know, I'm not going to fall off that, you know, like I could see how it could be possible to fall. And so like a lot of like horseplay, a lot of goofing off. I don't want to like, I wouldn't go climbing on trees or whatever. Like that story that I tell about my friend Telly, who didn't help me when I was dangling off of that, that cliff. Not dangling, but I was like slipping off of it and had to sort of, you know, save myself in the least cool way that you could possibly imagine by like sinking my butt into some sand and scurrying upward. Just give it a little scoot. And I lived, but you know, was not proud of having survived it. But I would say like those sorts of things, like the idea of, or like when I was in college, I had this roommate and he would buy those like 12 packs of Cokes, and he came in like very in the middle of the semester, and we called him the new guy, and we called his Cokes, everything of his was the new something or other, the new Cokes. And so we would just take his Cokes and we would just go to, we were on the 13th floor. We would just open up the window and just throw them. We just throw them and then they would like hit cabs and explode and the cabbies would be like, I don't know. It was a terrible thing to do. And then one day I just opened up the window, I tossed one out, and then like about 10 minutes later, my RA, wasn't Jeff at the time, came you know, pounding on the door or whatever, and was like, who's like throwing cans of Coke out the window
at New York City window
at passersby, and and you know, so of course I blamed it on Jackson Pesci, who was my friend who didn't live in the dorm, no questions asked. But they were like, because it was your window that this got thrown out of.
Yeah.
They sealed the thing shut.
They bricked it shut.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, and I wasn't allowed to have an open window
That's
any longer.
Crazy.
And I would say that, like, that was the beginning of realizing that things had consequences. Mm-hmm. And then it probably took like a few years before I fully realized, like, oh no, like I potentially could, like, I think about, like, you know, this Venus right. Williams thing that's going on right now. Like, the tennis player Venus Williams was involved in seemingly a faultless accident.
Yeah.
But because fault has to be assigned for purposes of insurance and sure. for purposes of yada, 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 it was assigned to her. And mm-hmm. so she's, like, responsible for this, like, 78-year-old person having died because we travel around in vehicles that move much faster than we're capable of sustaining
yeah.
impact, you know?
Right.
And so I think about, like, now I think about that kind of thing and, like, just the ramifications for having been stupid. Like, if someone would have died
sure.
because of something that I had done,
yeah,
not
yeah.
so much my own death, but the thought that I would be carrying around yes. guilt for it. Because, yeah.
The cringy stuff. Like,
yeah.
like all
yeah.
that sort of, like, exact, it, like, throwing Cokes out of, like, a huge wind.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's
new
that
Cokes.
Sort of stuff. The, yeah. New Cokes, new world. I love how pragmatic the school was. Just like, well, we're just going to, like, seal his window shut.
Yeah.
Like, look, he might still throw Cokes, but this way they're
yeah.
like, they're like, they stay in his apartment.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, it was a wet semester in my dorm room.
Can I tell a quick story
yeah,
that reminded me of? This is similar to, like, you know, realizing real world impact mm-hmm. of your action. So I was playing soccer, youth soccer, as we do up in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the three of us are on a youth yeah. soccer yeah. team yeah. together.
We're really good.
I want to say, like, third grade. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but thereabouts. And this was sort of back before, this is back before cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, I kind of feel like in fifth or sixth grade, that's when, like, people start to become cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or, like, there's a little bit of, like, a cynicism that
sure.
ekes in. And I
yes.
was even slow to develop that even then.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is pre all that.
Yeah.
And so I'm playing soccer. As far as I know, I'm, like, good friends with everybody on my team. Why
yeah.
would we not be?
yeah.
Right.
And so I'm playing defense. And I start to feel like this sort of, like, this pain, like, in my back of my leg, like, just like a bug or like stung by a bee or something like that. And I was
yeah,
just like
yeah.
whack, whack. And I'm like, what is that? And the goalie on my own team had been picking up pebbles and was
what?
Like throwing them at me just out of, like, childish boredom.
Yeah. yeah.
But, like, this was also a kid who, like, I believe that like we were sort of some of the better buddies on that team. So it took me a second
Ooh,
to, like, realize.
Yeah.
Oh, this dude is, like, doing something that I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
so I was just like, hey, knock it off or whatever. I'm trying to get in the game.
yeah.
I was like, I was obviously an awful soccer player. I wouldn't be on defense getting rocks thrown at me. And so he didn't stop. And so I picked up a rock and I was fed up with it and I threw it back at him and it hit him in the head and he fell.
Oh.
And they called, like, timeout on the game or whatever. And the kid, like, did have to go to the hospital.
Whoa.
Because it hit him, like, in like the temple, like in the
yeah.
in, like, the brain part of the head.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember sort of explaining it, but not feeling too vilified right then
sure.
in the moment, being like, well, this is just what happens.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I had to call. My parents made me call the kid in the hospital
oh
and
gosh.
Apologize.
Oh, yeah.
And I like, hated it. They told me, like, we're going to dial this number, and then the kid's going to be on the phone, and you're going to apologize to him. And I was like, no, why?
yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah, he was throwing rocks
yeah.
at me. Wouldn't
I mean,
stop.
I did not understand. Yeah. It seemed so unjust.
I still yeah. think it's unjust. I think he made you do that.
And, like,
you had the wrong lawyer.
Yeah.
yeah. And so they dialed the phone and, like, lowered it to my face, and I was, like, squirming into the couch. But I said I was sorry.
Yeah.
And he said it was fine and whatever. I wish I sort of, like, remembered the content of that phone call better.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's just one of those things where I just remember, like, the anxiety and fear of the phone being lowered onto my head.
yes.
like,
yes.
My parents, like, made me apologize yeah, to this kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm still not sorry about it. I take it all back.
Yeah. Should have blamed Jackson Pesci.
yeah, where was my Jackson Pesci back then?
Yeah. No, I mean, that one, I feel like that that particular instance, and I feel like we've all been through some variation on that, is particularly hard to wrap your head around because it's not like your intention was ever to hurt a person.
Right.
He started it.
Right.
You did the exact same thing back.
Right. Yeah.
And it just went worse.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's like, but how is it possible that you could be sorry if he's not sorry because he did the exact same thing?
Yeah.
He just did it worse. He should be much more sorry.
Yeah, no, he did that to himself.
Yeah.
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 It was really like,
we got to get this kid on the horn.
I know.
And we have him here today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Come in, Mike Hanford. No, Madeline, did you ever hurt or get hurt really badly when you were a kid?
I want to hear about you hurting someone else.
I.
That's what I would
say. Is there a story?
I have. I have accidentally hurt several people.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Give us at least the best one.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you. Oh, well, the earliest one, I broke a girl's fingers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All of them?
No, I think maybe either one finger or her like pointer and middle finger.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it was a girl who I thought was so cool. It was this girl, Amelia Brannigan. And I was doing children's theater. So it was like we were doing like a community theater play, and it was like a bunch of just like little kids just like running around like the backstage of this like little community theater.
And how old? Like elementary school? Or
I bet I was in middle school.
Okay.
You know, I was in middle school because the first like kids theater play I ever did, I think I was in like fifth grade. So it was like around fifth grade, which makes you, how old are you in fifth grade?
11, like, something like
that. Yeah.
I would say the darkness is starting to seep in,
yeah.
Especially for
no
women,
question.
Well, or for young women of the time.
I would say 10 to 13 is the darkest period.
It was terrible. Yeah. I mean, when you said like that crossing over like into like realizing, like sort of recognizing
like
cynicism.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like so distinctly, so we started middle school in fifth grade where I grew up. And so I remember very specifically like my first days of like being in middle school, realizing for the first time that like kids were mean, and that like for some reason, like for me, it really crystallized by realizing that like you could get made fun of for your clothes.
Because
it was not a thing I'd ever thought about before.
Right.
And it was like just that, it was a very similar thing where I was like just realizing that that you didn't have the right to just like play and not worry in a social situation. It was like a really sucked. So, but that's why I loved these like plays, you know, and doing like children's theater, because it was like just a bunch of nice nerds, you know, and it was like one of those environments where like really none of the mean kids, you know, did like a dumb community theater play.
Right.
And so this, yeah, so Amelia Brannigan was the older sister of Lila Brannigan, who was my age. And just, she was like so pretty. She was so nice. She was like maybe just 2 years older than me, but that feels like an eon, you know, when you're that age.
For sure.
And I just like looked up to her so much, and we were like just horsing around backstage and like doing something where people were like chasing each other and like trying to get each other out of a dressing room. And I slammed this door right on sweet Amelia Brannigan's fingers and broke them.
Did you hear it? Like, did you hear it?
I heard her. Like, it was like one of those things, because I closed the door, and then all of a sudden there was like, you know, some kind of kerfuffle.
Oh,
like,
God.
If there's sort of ripples of like realizing like something is wrong.
Yeah.
But then I have to, I'll, and the, so that was probably the, well, it's really a tie, because I also broke someone's front teeth.
Oh, my God. You're a menace.
If you just sort of like, if we didn't hear the stories and you didn't know Madeline at all, and you were just like, oh yeah, Madeline grew up in Jersey, I think people would be like, oh okay, that's why Madeline has these stories of mobbing people over. But yeah, no, so you broke teeth.
And it was also a theater related injury. This was in high school. I was auditioning for the high school production of Funny Girl. And if you're familiar with the play Funny Girl, it's a horrendous play. It's like the stage version of like the Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess this doesn't matter whether it was a play or a movie first, but it's like basically like about like kind of just about sort of Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are these cabaret numbers in the play. And so I was doing the dance portion of the audition, and we were given like, you know, sort of like color guard rifles, because like there was some choreography. It was for a song called Rat Tat Tat Tat, mm-hmm. about shooting the Kaiser. And like you have to do some kind of like rifle choreography,
right.
You know, like it was very basic, but my school didn't have enough like sort of color guard rifles for everybody to use. So they had me use just a metal cane.
Oh.
And it was like this, they were like, oh, you just take this metal cane. And it was like really bottom heavy. So it was like basically like, I don't know where they got it. It was just this like shitty little like.
When you say cane, you mean like it was like a walking
like
cane?
It was like a walking okay. cane. It was had a like a lead or a heavy kind of knob on the top, and then like a really light aluminum like sort of cane part.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the, you know, sort of this kind of choreography is just holding whatever, like holding your rifle or your metal cane mm-hmm. upright in your hand. And I was trying to hold it upright, but it was really wobbly because it's like really weighted on the bottom. And it just, I'm also quite clumsy. And it fell over and hit Ann Ciano in her front teeth, immediately breaking her front teeth.
Oh.
And it was like, and yeah. I was in high school. It wasn't even like, I was a junior.
Brutal.
I was like basically an adult.
Yeah.
So when you say knock, did it
crumble?
Oh, it broke them.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
what happened to
my
I'd rather a clean extraction
yes.
than like broken tooth.
No, it
yeah.
broke
that.
Yeah. It just
that's what happened to mine.
Broke her two front teeth in half.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
And then if your like tongue grazes the break, it just fucking touches raw nerves and just shoots all over your head.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. So, wait. There's so many, like, what happens? Do they just go to surgery and, like, replace the teeth?
That's a great, you know, I actually don't know how they fixed her teeth, but she's got great, like, we're Facebook friends.
Yeah. Great teeth now,
she,
yeah.
Her teeth look right.
I mean,
she doesn't have,
it sounds very
two full front teeth.
Similar to mine. And yeah. I basically had to go immediately into root canal surgery.
Oh.
So went into root canal surgery, and then they put on, after root canal surgery, I had like maybe a week of having half teeth. And then they put in like some like a filament or something
yeah.
that like looked distinctly different from, they were bad teeth until like the ones that I have now, which are pretty good teeth, I think.
Well, I
damn good teeth.
Yeah,
thank
those
you,
are
you.
Damn good teeth.
Thank you.
Well, and I imagine because this was like in, you know, 2001 or 2002. So like I imagine Anne subsequently has had to like deal with teeth shit, and
yeah.
she will for the rest of her life.
Like every 10 years.
Yeah.
Ann Ciano.
So cool.
Man,
she, yeah.
To get something like that done in high school is the worst timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to make
no,
you feel worse.
No,
for
you're
it.
Right. And like none of us were like, cool because, again,
God.
We were all doing like the plays. This was like we were already like bottom of the totem pole.
Oh.
And then.
So you moved up a notch and Anne moved down.
Yeah, because I could break someone's teeth.
Yeah.
Should we play a game?
Yeah, let's play this game. So, Jeff, this is a little fuck, marry, kill kind of game. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we've talked about on this podcast is that so people who claim that fuck, marry, kill and would you rather are different games, they're really deluding themselves. It's all
yeah.
the same.
Right.
You could also call this rank the stank. You could call it rank the rank. But the point is,
did you make
rank
up those
the rank?
Names?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that's I like
rank the stank and rank the rank because I don't know how you're gonna fuck these things.
Sure, it's
or
more
marry or kill.
It's more symbolic and
exactly.
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
So we're gonna talk about
thinking man's fuck marry kill.
It's
yeah.
a thinking man's
yes.
fuck
yes.
marry kill. And once we get through these, you're really gonna regret having referred to it as a thinking man's sort of anything.
That's great.
So we're talking about foods that have gone bad. Yeah, yeah. So
okay.
it's sort of like, you know, you're gonna essentially you'll rank these rank stanks in the order that you would be most willing to partake. Okay. So, you know, for instance, like, you know, fuck would be, if we were talking about fuck, marry, kill, it'd be like Mary would be like number one, mm-hmm. fuck would be number two, and yep. then kill would be like, I don't want anything to sure. do with that sure. ever.
So it's almost like I would eat this food like every day. Or what, like once a week, once a month, or never?
Yeah, so kind yeah, of, like frequently.
Frequently.
Once or never.
Oh, yeah, frequently yeah, once like or that. Never.
So, but yeah, yeah.
But you know, we should be able to.
Yeah, yeah,
and we'll extrapolate.
Yeah,
as
oh,
we,
definitely.
As we
definitely,
hear these foods,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, oh, for yeah, sure, yeah. for sure. Okay, so we're gonna there'll be three categories. Let's start with meats.
Ooh.
So meats that have gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
We've got beef, chicken, and fish.
I have an important question right off the bat.
Yeah.
Have they gone bad before or after being cooked?
Let's say before being cooked.
Okay.
Whoa.
Doesn't that seem
okay.
that seems more like we're talking about like
yeah.
like fish that is turned and
yeah,
then you
like
cook
in
it,
your
beef
fridge,
that's turned.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like we've all
yes.
like smelled a steak and been like, yeah. I'm not there's a chance I'm not going anywhere
that
near
that. That
makes
them all so much worse.
Oh
though.
Yeah, these are bad.
Oh, okay.
These are going to be bad.
So you can't just kill them all. You have to
oh, you have to do yeah, you have
yeah,
to
yeah, yeah. One have of you these, ever played Fuck, Mary,
Kill? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jeff's answer is always kill them all.
So beef, chicken, and fish. Jeff, why don't we go around and we'll say what's each of us say what our number our kill would be.
Okay.
What are you killing, Jeff? You never want to get your hands on any bad money. Fish, chicken, or beef.
I mean, they're all so bad.
They're all so bad.
I think that like this might surprise even me.
Yeah.
I think maybe the chicken.
Chicken's going to be at
your
bottom.
Even like good chicken, if it's kind of like cooked wrong, like
yeah.
Mike Hanford has eaten like
yeah.
kind of like rare chicken, yeah. like kind of too often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of a nasty thing.
Yeah.
It kind of feels the most transgressive.
No, yeah. definitely. Even without getting sick, it like affects his butt. Like it.
Yeah, you're right.
It does. It affects
yeah.
his butt. And you live with him.
Yeah. I got to live with it. So I'm gonna go kill the chicken.
Kill the chicken.
Also kill the chicken. That was easy for me.
I'm gonna kill the fish because it seems because it has the worst smell of the
I mean,
because
even nice yeah. fish smells butt.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And you just hear like I'll just leave it at the smell's already gotten to me.
Yep, yep.
All right, so now fuck.
Ugh.
So what's the one that we're willing to have one time of the two?
I'll go fish on that one.
You're going to have the fish. Yeah. One time bad fish.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cuz I you know, maybe it's the sushi aspect is mm-hmm. like in cuz in comparison to the chicken,
yeah.
we've all sort of had raw fish, or if you've yeah. ever had sushi,
you've had
raw fish. So it's kind of like only one step more to just have raw fish that's also rotten.
that's true.
I feel like I could do that one time. Okay, so
okay.
Yeah.
Fuck the fish.
The same for some reason, yeah, fish feels like less. Yeah, it feels safer than chicken. I guess it feels like even if it's bad, it'll like I feel like you'll have some like. Nasty, like you'll probably throw up and have some nasty diarrhea and then you'll be done.
Yeah. That sounds true. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put chicken in. So basically we've reversed chicken and fish.
Okay.
And so then we're all going to eat the beef.
Yep.
On a regular
yeah,
basis.
Why is that?
I'm not exactly sure, but I definitely have had, I've definitely had steak before where I was like, this tastes a little bit funny,
yeah.
and I pressed on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of any instance where I'd eaten the other two, felt like there was even the remotest chance that they were no good,
yeah.
and continued eating.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, there's like, you know, when beef's no good, it, like, from at the right angle, it's got like that sort of green tint to it.
Oh,
yeah.
God,
yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe in terms of like, I was thinking hamburger.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Oh, like a bad burger.
And, you know, I've definitely like gotten in the position where like, You open up the Ziploc bag or whatever, and you're like, oh, this smells has that like sweet smell of like this is not good.
Yeah.
But I guess just like compared to chicken or fish, looking at like a beef patty that's maybe a little questionable, I feel like more could be done to to correct it.
I feel like you could either
like pick off the bad bits or just cook the shit out of it.
Yeah, I feel that's like you true. Really could cook the
Whereas
shit out of
maybe
it.
Whereas maybe the other two are just maybe you can't, you know, a beef patty is like granular in a way where you can sort of work with it. Whereas like a chicken, you'd have to like. You just take it apart or like a fish.
Something about also like there being beef jerky. Like it feels like there's like a tradition of people like eating old rotten
like
beef or like salt beef. There's no like chicken jerky.
Right. There's turkey jerky.
There is turkey jerky.
Okay. There is no chicken jerky, but there is turkey jerky.
Is there the same salmonella risk for turkey? Because you don't really hear about it.
No, you don't. You just hear about tryptophan.
Hey, Zig? Can we find this out? If it's a, if this is like a PR issue, or if turkey really is safer than chicken,
we'll find out.
Yeah, after these messages.
Yeah, tweet at us.
Yeah,
tweet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you know, tweet at us.
Tweet at us your turkey death scares.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this next one, then we'll come back around to what we learned about turkey and chicken. Okay, so. So outside of I'm not going to preface this.
Okay.
I'm just going to hit you with these three options.
Great.
Sour milk.
Oh.
Could have been curdled. I felt like I diminished the agony with a little bit of sour.
Great.
Rotten eggs. Or moldy bread.
Oh, well, I know. I mean, I have a strong kill for that.
What's your strong kill?
Moldy bread, dog.
Really?
Yeah, you can't. You're not supposed to have moldy bread.
Really, dog?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the one that you can do something with.
There's a myth, though, that moldy bread is, like, kind of okay to eat.
Right.
Or like, here's the
so
myth.
Gross
is that, like, you can pull
localized.
Off the mold.
Yeah, you
yeah
could,
it's
yes.
not actually localized. Like, if you're seeing the mold
it's
on
throughout.
Bread,
yeah.
it's throughout. So you gotta watch out moldy bread.
Oh. Yeah, I heard that, too. Yeah. What about cheese? Can you...
Cheese is okay.
You can cut the mold off cheese and proceed?
Yes.
Okay. Hmm.
You can, but never would.
No.
Because it's so gross.
Yeah.
But you can. It's okay.
Moldy cheese.
Yeah.
Moldy bread. Moldy grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah. Would you eat it?
No.
Everything you've just set aside, would you eat it?
What about... Let me just say... Plus moldy butter.
Ew.
Would you eat it?
Oh, yeah, with a moldy butter? Oh, for sure. For sure.
Well, that's a good kill.
I'm going to kill moldy bread, too, because it's so gross to look at.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm going to know it right away. I'm not going to know it about the milk. I'm not going to know it about the eggs immediately just on...
Yeah. I think moldy bread is keepers. The kind of mold... Right. I think bread mold is kind of the kind that can make you really sick.
I'm gonna fly in the face of all this wisdom and say I'm gonna marry the moldy bread.
Whoa.
What?
Because I can trick myself.
Oh, that's
the mold being like local and you know extractable, cleanable.
Yes.
Is probably I agree that that's probably not true and that like once you see it, it's kind of like throughout the bread, but. I can sort of like take that off and just sort of like roll the dice with a sound mind a little bit more. I can just sort of deny
like
that.
Scrape the mold
I'll scrape
off.
It
right.
and just sort of like give it a shot versus the other two where I feel like nothing can be done. And then like every bite and every swallow, you're like fully aware of the stank.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're kind of right.
Well, you guys already said so.
You
can't
say
no.
I've married moldy bread. I mean,
I've killed
moldy bread.
I've definitely like had. I mean, I've had all of these.
Yeah.
So I can speak with some measure of expertise on all these things.
Well, and also the wisdom about moldy bread is, don't eat moldy bread. Just as like eat. Food that's not moldy. It's like that conventional wisdom doesn't apply for choosing between moldy foods to eat. So I think that your reasoning is really good.
Yeah. Folks, if you know what the conventional wisdom about choosing between moldy foods to eat it, holler at us.
What about you, Ben?
I'm gonna do the moldy bread too. Mostly because it really grosses me out to look at. And I've just had so many instances where like I went to make like a sandwich and I saw that there was mold on the bread and it really devastated me.
Yeah.
Like it ruined the whole day.
Yeah. Do you fridge your bread?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
I put my bread in the fridge and it's not that tasty, but it never goes moldy.
Oh.
I mean, it depends. At this point, basically, the only sandwiches I eat are peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like a cold bread and a peanut butter jelly and a jelly goes that well together.
I toast it.
Yeah, that's
a
thing.
But I toast it.
I like a nice softness to a... Oh, man, wait until... These peanut butter and jellies that have come out of this peanut butter,
PB.
This new PB, best I've ever had in my life.
I'm so excited.
So far and away. Yeah, we're going to try those soon. This part of the podcast is going to mean nothing to you listeners. Not only does it not apply to what's going on now, it will never apply in the future.
So what about rotten eggs versus sour milk? I don't know if I've ever had a rotten egg.
Well, then you haven't. Because you would know.
Oh, yeah. You know it? Yeah.
So, what are you thinking?
I think I would have to marry sour milk and kill rotten eggs, kind of just because it feels like what I've heard about rotten... Or, sorry.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Fuck a rotten egg.
Fuck a rotten egg. Marry sour milk, because I feel like I've heard very bad things about rotten eggs.
Right. I'll do exactly the same. That ranking, those two work out for me. No,
but you did the...
No, I married the...
you married bread.
So you married bread,
I'm still fucking the egg.
Yeah.
And then I will marry... No, fuck. I will... What the hell? Kill the egg.
Kill the egg.
Yeah.
That's smart, I think.
Fuck the milk.
Yeah. I think you did it right.
Because I've done like a... I've gone down the road of like had a couple spoonfuls of like Lucky Charms. And then realized the milk was sour, but I at least got like three in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know I can do a little.
Your ranking is all about like
versus a rotten egg. Like if you're in the room, you kind of know it. I feel like as soon as that shell cracks, you're sort of just like
it's terrible.
Yeah, so kill that.
I would. Moldy bread is seeming really nice right now.
I mean, they all have a different thing about them. Like I think that moldy bread is the worst visually.
Yeah.
I think that rotten eggs are the worst. Yeah, the worst olfactory is going to be that smell. And then I think the worst taste is going to be the sour milk. Just because sour milk, like, it really lingers in your mouth. Like, that sour part sticks around.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill the bread. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fuck the egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to marry the milk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Marry the milk.
Marry
so we're
milk.
All a little different.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
We're all a little different.
Yeah.
In this scenario that will hopefully never happen.
Yeah.
You know what they say, no two snowflakes gets food poisoning the exact same. Okay, so this is the last one, number three. We're going to move away from the foods themselves and focus on the reactions to food poisoning. Your three options are all vomit. Like you're vomiting all the time.
Oh, so okay. You're not eating vomit.
No.
Okay.
You have food poisoning.
Okay.
You're vomiting all the time.
Uh-huh.
You're diarrheaing all the time.
Yep.
Or you're 50-50 vomiting and diarrheaing. So it's coming out of both ends.
That's easy.
Same total.
For me too. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one are you going with?
Well, I'll marry diarrhea because that's basically my life as it is.
That sounds like I know what you meant, but that made it sound like Ben Green was diarrhea. Ben Green,
I pretty much always have at least a little diarrhea, and I kind of don't mind. And I hate throwing up, so I would fuck 50-50 and then kill vomit.
Okay, Jeff, what about you?
I would say exactly the same thing. I'm not as opposed to vomiting, like it's very rare, especially like post college, that like you like drink to the point of puking or something. I never really did too much of that, but I sort of like, if it has to happen like once or twice as part of like a, I can sort of get my head around it as a biological process, right. Like the sheer mechanics of it, I've accepted.
Yeah.
I don't feel like as traumatized by puking as I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I did have, pretty recently, I did have like, I want to say food poisoning or some kind of stomach bug.
Yeah.
I think it's no accident that I was at an arcade and like playing on all the machines and then ate wings without like washing my hands or anything, which is just like, my mom is a nurse. Like I could just feel in the morning like, oh, you fucked up, and in a very clear and traceable way last night.
Right.
And I had the all just tons of puking, and then eventually just like tons of both like. Let's get into it. We're talking about it. So, like, you know, just like sitting on a toilet, but also with a big bucket.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Fucking worst.
I'm killing that one for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I guess I would still rather that be the middle one, the fuck one, because all vomit is a little too treacherous.
Yeah. It's really upsetting.
It is more upsetting than, because look, when the chips are down.
Mm-hmm.
At least stuff comes out of your butt generally.
True.
Yeah.
True.
It might be more than usual, but that's part of God's plan.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
And then the vomit is just like the reversal of it is what's so awful.
It's like kind of sinister.
Yeah. Something bad about it.
Yeah.
I 100% comprehend, but personally, for me, I disagree.
Yeah.
I would marry vomiting, mostly, I think partly because I have a similar history of vomiting to your history with diarrhea.
Yeah.
Just like
you're just more accustomed to it.
Yeah, yeah. I've done like a lot of puking in my life, mostly out of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But my big thing is this, like, and this is what
Before you get there,
yeah,
sorry.
Sure. No.
Steven Spielberg to this day pukes on the first day of every shoot out of nervousness.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Yep. I used to puke literally every single day before I would go to school. Like I was so anxious about going to. And it wasn't even necessarily like I didn't think anything particularly bad was going to happen. It was just, I don't know, every day is a mystery. And it was like, it was very overwhelming to my stomach.
When you were a kid?
Like up pretty much up through high school.
Yeah.
Damn.
Later than that. Like up until my early 20s, I would say. So I'm gonna marry the vomiting. And the big reason is because I've had stomach problems that resulted in diarrhea, and the level of anxiety that it caused me over where am I going to go to the bathroom was huge. Because the truth is that if you just have to puke, you can go to any receptacle that you can find.
Hey. You're welcome anyway.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like every sink is a perfect place to vomit.
That's true.
Not a good idea with diarrhea. You don't want a diarrhea in someone's sink.
No.
Chances are you're shitting your pants a whole lot, and that's like very upsetting to me.
Mm-hmm.
The worst one is going to be having it come out of both sides for me.
Yeah.
But then, I'm going to go diarrhea number two because I'm more comfortable with my options as a vomiter. And because I feel like, but you guys are absolutely right that after a certain amount of vomiting, and I know this from having done what was referred to as a chocolate chug a milk challenge, where you drink an entire gallon of chocolate milk, that at a certain point, the cramping that comes from vomiting is unprecedented. Like there's no amount of shitting that's ever going to make you feel in your stomach the way that you do after a certain amount of like heaving, purging.
Yeah.
So that's really brutal. But I don't know. There's just a queasiness that comes with diarrhea. That's like I'm going to choose
sense.
The cramps over the queas. That's where I'm at.
One time, my friend was getting married, and the bride and like the bridal party, like the bridesmaids, all had like tacos before they went and tried on the bridal
bridesmaids dresses.
And
then
they were in all the outfits and they started like puking and shitting all over the place.
It was like real life bridesmaids.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bridesmaids.
Oh, no, I thought.
I got you.
Oh, jeez.
You really did get me. I was really confused as to why you didn't recognize that was such a popular movie term.
I was trying to come up with a synonym for bridesmaids so hard in the beginning where I was like, the bride and her friends were trying out. Because I was like, once I say it, they're going to know.
Also, what a weird story if you were just telling a story about like your friend's wife and her friends.
My friend Kristen Wiig.
And Maya Rudolph was getting married.
Jeff, you tricked our listeners.
You tricked me.
Yeah, me too. I'm still tricked.
I got tricked.
Yeah. So, Jeff, do you have anything you want to plug before we wrap this baby up?
Oh, not really. Check me out on, I'm on all forms of social media at Jefferson Dutton. That's about it.
Yeah. good ones, good tweets, good grams.
Hey, thanks.
Jeff hates Facebook.
I do hate Facebook. Yeah, yeah. Don't hit me up on Facebook.
Don't hit me up on Facebook.
Who loves Facebook?
Oh, it's like the phone book at this point.
Yeah. I've come around to Facebook more, though, since the election. I think Twitter has cost us everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Twitter is the worst, no question.
Yes.
But it's more fun than Facebook. Facebook is upsetting to do. But I think people have like good intentions on Facebook.
Yeah.
They just want to like share pictures of like their food and babies and whatnot. Yeah. On Twitter, it seems like people are aggressive.
Yeah.
They want popularity.
It's more anonymous, or like not anonymous, but like there are no boundaries on Twitter. Like, you know, this person has just as many characters per tweet as the president or Elon Musk or whoever, and you're all sort of in the mix together.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Facebook is a little bit more like the friend circles are a little bit more manicured or composed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it feels a little bit more like, oh, the people in my scene and my like and my old roommate's ex-girlfriend, like, like you've kind of come across. Whereas Twitter's just more like the Wild West, where you're just like, it's just random people.
Yeah. Mean. A little more mean people.
Yeah.
Anyway, it elected a president, so it's good for it. It's good in that way.
Oh,
well, that got sour. That was worse than the milk. Anyway, Jeff, it was so good having you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
for having me.
Thank you so much. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.